The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Thank you for the wonderful introduction, and good morning. Today is October 22nd, 2023, and here are the topics that we will discuss on this week's edition of the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
The yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
And this rogue judge, a Trump hater, the only one that hates Trump more is his associate up there, his person that works with him. She's screaming into his ear and almost every time we ask a question. Disgrace. You want to know the truth? It's a disgrace. So this rogue judge refuses to acknowledge the fact that we won 80% of this case in the appellate division, including statute of limitations. You know, in the statute of limitations, you have a period of time. He wants to go back so far that nobody's ever even heard of such a ridiculous thing.
Tonight, pressure growing on the Biden administration to come up with a lasting policy solution to address the crisis that's impacting the border and cities far beyond tonight.
New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez and his wife indicted by a federal grand jury in New York.
Yeah, that indictment charges Menendez and his wife, Nadine Menendez, with having a corrupt relationship with three New Jersey businessmen.
Online radio at its best.
Welcome to the prayer for thanking God. This is simply a video I've put together where I'd like to pray for anyone within the sound of my voice. All I ask you to do is to agree with me as we seek our Heavenly Father together. Please continue to meditate on this prayer for yourself, speak it daily, or listen to this video over and over again, and allow the Word of God concerning thanking God to reach deep into your spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather together here online and come into agreement in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus. Where two or more are gathered, there you shall surely be. And anything we agree upon as touching, you will surely do. The Bible says that if there's any unforgiveness, that it should be dealt with before praying. Therefore, we release any anger, bad feelings, resentment, or any other wrong attitude before you now. We lay it at your feet, and we release and forgive those who have wronged us. I lift up those watching this video, and we come into agreement and lift up thanking you, Lord. With the help of the Holy Spirit and by your grace, we join with all of heaven and make a joyful noise to you. Thank you so much, Lord. We step into your presence with gladness of heart and singing. You are the great I am. You are more than enough. You are worthy of all praise and glory. It is you who made the listener, not them themselves. They are your people, and the sheep are your pasture. Together in agreement, Father, we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and enter your courts with praise. We come before you to present an offering of thanks. We are filled with gratitude and want you to know it. Lord, the listener wants to bless you and affectionately praise your name. For you are so good all the time to the listener. Your mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. Your faithfulness and truth endure to all generations. Thank you for blessing the listener with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Thank you for giving them discernment and spiritual understanding. Lord, we enter your gates with thanksgiving in our heart. You are the Father of the listener. Thank you for their life. Thank you for your word. It is a good and delightful thing to give thanks to you, O Most High. From the very bottom of the listener's heart and with all that they are, they thank you. Thank you for those positive people you have brought into the life of the listener. We are grateful for the victories and achievements the listener has experienced by your grace in spite of their faults. The listener is your child and is loved by you unconditionally. Together we rejoice in you, Lord, and give thanks at the remembrance of your holiness. The listener is an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of the listener. Life is exciting and the listener is grateful that they are alive for such a time as this. You have a wonderful plan for their life, and we thank you for it. Thank you for past and present relationships. Thank you that the listener always triumphs in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It was forced upon us in the most brutal and savage way. But though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it.
There are so many surprising things in the book, but the thing that surprised me the most, that I actually had to reread it because I said, is this true?
Right.
Was that in 2016, you and Will decided that you were going to live completely separate lives.
Yes.
It was not a divorce on paper,
right,
but it was a divorce. So from the year...
Welcome in, 347-850-1272. It is the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. I'm J. Ryle. Thank you, thank you, thank you for hanging with us and being a part of what we do. And of course, I never share this stage by myself. Let me introduce you to the player players. From the Himalayas, my big sister's in the house. Miss Vanessa Mae Belly from the McAnally is here. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, everybody.
Absolutely. We're glad you're in the house as well. My man, my brother, the man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is in the house as well. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, good morning to you and good morning, Nesta. Good morning, Virginia. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Mama B. Good morning, Marina Music. Good morning, Rich Sister. And good morning, my brother Hawk. And good morning, my brother Jamal.
Good morning, good morning. The number is 347-850-1272. I'm going to start to show off a little bit of sad news. The Cowboy, our dear sister Momo Beezy and Mahezy lost her father. Prayers to the Cowboy. You know, Mr. Elias, she used to talk about him on the show, man. You can just tell that she was filled with pride and joy, and she would tell us stories, and we would laugh. And I know it's, she has a heavy heart this morning, so I wanted to spend a few minutes just to talk about the Cowboy. Mr. Elias, your thoughts?
Look, man, anytime you lose a parent, it's a horrific thing, man. And, for those who don't know, Momo B moved back from Florida to New York so she could take care of her father. So that should tell you something about her character. So, man, I know I feel her pain because, I experiencing the loss of both my parents. It's irreplaceable. It is irreplaceable to replace your parents. So, Momo, you got my love, you got my support. My dear, if you should need anything, just reach out and call. I'm here for you.
Absolutely. Vanessa, your thoughts?
Well, I've talked to Momo periodically throughout her stay up with her dad. And yesterday when she called and gave me the news, and I told her I was on the phone with Momo for almost 2 hours trying to make her laugh a little bit so she could get out of the bed. Because she's just so distraught. And I understand that. I understand losing. I've lost both parents, Bobby's parents, and both of my siblings, two of my brothers. So it's just out of six, just two of us left. So I understand Momo's hurt and pain. Momo, my love, my hug, they're with you. If you need to talk to me, because sometimes family can be stressful. Please know that you can, and please do. So my heart is with you. Condolences to the entire family.
Well said. Momo B is our sister. Both Mr. Elias and Vanessa say, Momo B knows where she fits in my heart. And, I love her to death. And I hate that she's going through this. A person with such a vibrant personality. And, she's so funny. And, it's just a blessing. I'm so glad that, you ask yourself the question sometimes, why do God bring certain people in your life? And I'm so happy that God made our paths cross. So Momo B, like both Mr. Elias and Vanessa, has just beautifully just displayed here. We love you. And if there's anything you need, you make sure you reach out to us. And you know that because you've done it in the past. We love you. And, prayers for the family. And remember, God is able and he does answer prayer. May God's grace and mercy continue to bless you and your family and comfort you guys during this most difficult time. And yeehaw, cowboy, rest in peace, my brother. All right, so listen, you know, this is the time of the show where we rap and clap and talk about things that are not going to be on the agenda. You may have heard something a little new this morning. You heard some things that, some topics this morning that I definitely want to try to get into before we get into the main show. What's happening in Israel, the Gaza Strip? I tell you what, if you watch the images on TV, if you're following this thing, I know some Americans may not be paying attention to it like we normally do here on this show for obvious reasons, but my goodness, Mr. Elias, give me your thoughts on what's happening over there.
It's terrific, man. I think, you know, I'm trying to think how they pronounce their name, Hamas? For them to come over and do what they did to those innocent people, I thought it was horrific. I thought it was a tragedy, and I thought that, you know, my God, how could you just, you know, wipe out entire families like that, you know, but you know. Those people are repressed, and I you know, but for your repression, there's different ways of handling it than to come over there and just start killing entire families off and just shooting innocent people who had nothing to do with your situation. So, man, it's horrific, man. And then for them to bomb. You know, to come back and bomb innocent people was wrong too, man. So it is wrong on both sides, but I thought it was horrific for them to come over and just start shooting and killing people for no, just for your repression, man. How could you kill a child, man? How could you chop up and hurt children who had nothing to do with this? It's ridiculous to me, man. It is.
You know, this is a very sensitive topic here in the States and, you know, the world over. Vanessa, let me get your thoughts on this. What's happening over in Israel and the Gaza Strip?
So I think it is unbelievable that they came back after doing all of that, blowing up stuff and blew up a hospital. They blew up a hospital. Okay. So in Bible study on Wednesday, we were reading Philippians. And I just stopped Bible study because I could not believe that I was reading where they said that the Israelites walked people down the street naked. I said, wait a minute. They just did this. And can y'all believe that some people in Bible study didn't know that they walked those kids from that concert, that festival, down the middle of the street naked and raped some of them? And it was in the Bible. I could not believe I was reading that. I couldn't believe that this happened back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, and now it's happening again. But I just couldn't believe that I was reading in the Bible that they walked people down the street naked. I couldn't believe that. And then that's what they did. They walked those kids down the street naked. They raped some of them. It was awful. It was just awful.
Yeah, it's an awful situation.
I can't believe I read it in the Bible.
Yeah, it's an awful situation. And when you think about...
I'm going to put y'all on hold for a minute. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. thank you, Vanessa. It's an awful situation. And when you really and truly think about... You know, you can sit here and people have opinions on the two-state solution. You know, I'll be honest with you. I really don't understand what's happening over there. I've done some research. And, you know, there are people in America who are sympathetic to the Palestinian people because of what's going on over there. And so, but at the end of the day, Hamas is a terrorist group. Those people in Palestine and those Palestinians, they're being ruled by these folks. And, you know, Israel saying, look, it's time to get rid of them. And so we're going to give people time to get out. We're coming in. We're cleaning house. And Man, I tell you what, people just need to be able to live in peace. And it's just unfortunate, man, that, you know, humans, you know, kill humans. And it's just, I mean, my God, it's just ever since I can remember, they've just been fighting overseas. You know, peace in the Middle East, we've been saying that for decades. And it's like, what is going on? And I just can't understand sometimes, you know, the humanity when it comes to certain folks doing things to certain people. You know, they show pictures of women bloody from the waist down because they had raped. I mean, what type of, you know, religious or political cause did that accomplish by you raping women? I just tell you who you are. You're barbaric, and there's no place in society for you.
But
I hope
they're
rotten in hell.
But, Jay, you know what? They said, or they was reading something in Bible study that was saying that that's the promised land and that God left that land for them and that they would always have to fight for that land. So it's like, oh my God. I mean, but does the United States have, boy, I bet you're going to get some ugly emails. But the United States, they didn't say other countries was helping. They said the United States is putting a bill on the table for $100 billion. I ain't say with no M. I said $1 billion.
Yeah.
To help
both
of those wars. And it's like, I mean, what budget is that money coming from? $100 billion.
Yeah. For
after we help, but then after we help, Jay, they're also afraid that those people are going to come up to the United States and retaliate.
It's a cruel world out there. It's a cruel, cruel world out there. All right, one more topic I wanted to talk about, but we've run out of time. We could talk about it during our mid-show break, what's happening with Will and Jada. That's a crazy situation. Okay, it's time to step out, take an NPR News update. We'll be right back to get into the heavy lifting of the show. We apologize for what's been happening for the past 2 weeks. Blog Talk is at it again. You know, a long time ago, Blog Talk used to always have issues with glitches and things of that nature. Then there was a period of time where everything was running smooth. Well, I guess the gremlins are back because this is our first live show. since the beginning of the month, and it's been just hell trying to get this thing going. So we appreciate you hanging out. We appreciate you coming back to this place to listen to what we have to say. And, you know, God bless you. And just hug a child. And, you know, once again, thoughts and prayers to Momo B. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, it's time for an NPR's News Update. And then we'll be right back to get into the show. 347-850-1272 is the call-in number. We'll talk to you in a second.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. The Israeli military says all residents in towns near the Gaza boundary will be evacuated within the next 24 hours as Israel intensifies its offensive against Hamas. Hundreds of Palestinian gunmen have been killed and dozens arrested as fighting in several areas in southern Israel continues. The BBC's Frank Gardner has more.
One of the surprising things is usually when there is a conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, the casualties are far greater on the Palestinian side because Israel's got all the firepower. But so far this time, the casualties have been pretty similar, about 300 killed on both sides. And that's unusual, and that's been a real shock to Israelis, actually.
The BBC's Frank Gardner. Countries around the Middle East are calling for calm as violence continues in Israel and the Gaza Strip. An attack by Hamas that included thousands of rockets fired into Israel and the ensuing Israeli military response have left hundreds of people dead on both sides. NPR's Peter Kenyon has more.
The general theme of the reaction has been to focus on ending the violence. The Saudi Foreign Ministry issued a statement calling for an immediate end to the escalation of the conflict. Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan spoke with Secretary of State Antony Blinken. A Saudi statement said the kingdom rejects the targeting of civilians and all sides should respect international humanitarian law. In Iran, hardliners have been incensed for months over reports that Saudi Arabia might establish diplomatic ties with Israel. In Tehran, the foreign ministry spokesman referred to Israeli visits to Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque as a desecration and called the attack, quote, a spontaneous move by resistance groups. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
Egyptian and Israeli authorities say two Israeli tourists were shot to death today in the Egyptian city of Alexandria. An Egyptian was also killed in the attack. The report says the shooter was an Egyptian police officer. The Taliban rulers in Afghanistan now say more than 2,000 people died in a series of powerful earthquakes yesterday. NPR's Dia Hadid reports.
Images shared by Afghan reporters showed at least one village reduced to mud and stone near the epicenter of the quakes, which struck Saturday. Taliban officials called on local and international aid agencies for assistance. The World Health Organization said it had dispatched ambulances to ferry out the wounded, mostly women and children. It was also assisting hospitals and medical centers nearby. But more generally, donors have been frustrated by the Taliban's own obstacles to allowing in more aid to the country, including bans on women working in most professions, including in UN agencies. A quake last year in a remote district of eastern Afghanistan killed more than 1,000 people. Dia Hadid, NPR News, Mumbai.
This is NPR News from Washington.
They are words no woman ever wants to hear.
He said, "I'm sorry to tell you, but you have breast cancer."
I was speechless.
A diagnosis of breast cancer changes your life forever.
She told me I needed a mastectomy. I was going to lose my breast.
I was scared.
Absolutely in shock.
But you need to know that you're not alone. There are teams of medical professionals, support groups, and therapists who are all there to help you get through your treatment, and those who can help you plan for life after cancer.
Consult with a plastic surgeon to learn more about your breast reconstruction options.
Breast reconstruction made me feel like me again.
Cancer took my breasts, but my plastic surgeon gave them back.
Before you undergo surgery for breast cancer, get the facts. Make sure you know your breast reconstruction options. For more information, visit BroadDayUSA.org.
Online radio at its best.
The yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is the call-in number. 347-850-1272 is the call-in number. Jim Jordan of Ohio was forced out of the House speakership race on Friday after his Republican colleagues voted against his continued bid for the seat in a secret ballot after his third failed attempt to corral enough support to win the gavel. This is what they call a straight up it show that's happening in Congress. We have a war that's happening over in Israel. We still have what's happening overseas in Ukraine. The federal government is going to run out of money here next month, and the Republicans, who according to the Republicans, the American people voted them to run the country, which they actually didn't. These bastards cheated and gerrymandered districts, but I digress. However, this is an S show, Mr. Elias, and too bad that the American people are not really paying attention to this nonsense, because in any other, you know, business, any other organization, if you had this much incompetence, these people would have been fired. And to watch this nonsense take place in Congress just makes you say, wow, other countries are laughing at us. What say you, Mr. Elias?
It definitely is, Jay. I mean, think about it. Jim Jordan, they want to elect somebody to Speaker of the House who's been in Congress for 16 years, who has yet to sponsor or put forth
one
a bill.
Hasn't passed
one
anything.
Bill has not passed
nothing.
Anything. So that means you're an obstructionist, man. And what that means is that you don't put forth anything to help your constituents. And how these people couldn't keep putting you back in office? I can't remember Al's last name, but the comedian that I know, he can say, it befuddles me how they could do that, man. How they even put him up to become Speaker of the House befuddles me. Because Jim, what's his name, the ex-Speaker of the House, Boehner, said all he does is he burns stuff down. Him and Ted Cruz, all they do is tear stuff down. They don't build stuff. All they're doing is they tear stuff down. You're not going to do anything to help. All you do is destroy stuff, tear stuff up, conspiracies there. When are you going to get down to the business of the people? For all you people to keep voting for him, remember I tell you that your vote counts. This is telling your votes count because he's not doing anything to you people in Ohio. And on top of that, he's an alleged, you know. Yeah, he has something to do with not telling on those people as those young boys are being molested.
Yep. I mean, that's definitely hanging over his head. You know, Vanessa, once again, it's an S show in Congress on Capitol Hill. And to watch this madness play out in front of the American people, and when you look at polling, there are polls out there that still says that Americans trust Republicans to run the government and the economy. They can't even get their S together in Congress. And for Americans, once again, who are not paying attention to this stuff, that's why this country, in my opinion, we have some of the dumbest people that reside within our borders. Because if you can watch this nonsense and continue to say that the GOP is a better option than the Democrats, the fact of the matter is that there are polls out there that says that Trump and freaking Biden are tied. I mean, what the hell are these people looking at? What say you?
You know, I hadn't heard a poll, and I've been keeping up with the news, but I hadn't heard a poll as to where Trump and Biden is at this point. It's so much it going on about Jordan and the rest of them cronies up there that I just hadn't heard anything. I just hadn't heard any numbers. But you know what? I don't understand how people think that the Republicans can get this world back in check when they can't even get their own stuff in order to find a leader. And all Jeffries needed.
Jeffries.
I said Akeem Jeffries. All he needed was, and they were too chicken shit and too scared.
Oh, I've been saying the S-word, and you just going to say it. Go ahead. Ching,
that's
ching.
Okay.
Ching,
ching, I put a quarter in there. Pray for me when I go to church in a little while. So, yeah, they just couldn't. He couldn't get the eight Republicans.
Well, he's not
going to
get the
right.
Eight. Yeah, but see, okay, listen. Well, no, hold on. Before you continue, let me just address that because they hold the majority, and so I don't blame them for not putting King Jeffries in charge. They would really look like some idiots. So I don't blame them for that. I mean, what you're saying makes sense. If they put country before party, yeah, you want some stability in the House of Representatives. But, hey, I would fall out of my chair if Republicans would put Hakeem Jeffries, that won't happen.
Well, Jordan,
it's not going to happen.
They had an underhanded vote late Friday night, so
secret,
you don't have to worry about Jordan
ballot.
Anymore. Huh?
Secret ballot, yep. Over 100 Republicans. Think about that. Over 100 Republicans voted against him to be the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
Over 100.
Yeah. So he can't even run anymore.
It's crazy. So now who's on deck? Because I think there are eight more people, Ms. Delias, who are thinking about who have thrown their hat in the ring, and one of them is that brother from Florida. I can't think of his name, but oh my God! Every time I see him on TV, what's that guy's name? Every time I see that idiot on TV, I'm like, dude, there are parts of this country where if you stroll your little black tail down there, they would have you swinging from a tree. And your butt is up there taking pictures with Donald Trump at a barbecue. Man, Trump don't care about you. He don't. And this guy, he put his name in the ring. He hasn't even been in, I think he's a freshman congressman, and he's throwing his hat in the ring. I mean, if you would have told me 20 years ago that our government would be in the state of flux that it's in now, I'd have laughed at you. Yeah, it's never been perfect. But what's going on now is this totally, utterly nonsense. It's crazy. It's crazy. And guess what? Guess whose name you haven't heard here in the last week or so? The person who started all this chaos, Mr. Elias, Mr. Matt Gaetz. You haven't heard anything from that dude since all this has happened. Nothing. Nothing. So why do you think he's so quiet, Mr. Elias? Why haven't we heard from Matt Gaetz?
Well, because he started this mess, and that's what people like him do. They'll start the mess, then they'll throw their hands like, I don't know what you're talking about. What? I never had anything to do with this. Oh, no, not me. That's him. That's what they do, man. He's not going to stand up for what he did. He'll stand up for what he did while he's doing it, but he's quiet as a church mouse now because, hey, man, they say he wants to run for the governor of Florida. So I get it, man. I get it. I get it that these people are in disarray, and if you talk to some of the Republicans, some of the people that are Republican supporters, they'll say, no, we're not in disarray. We're doing things like we're supposed to. You can't even elect a Speaker of the House when you're not in a disarray. Something's wrong with your party, man, if you cannot elect a Speaker of the House.
Well, they've been trying to vote for Trump, and he thinks he's running against Obama. They still willing to vote for somebody who thinks he's running against Obama.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They don't care, man. They don't care about this country. All they care about is their supremacy, man. And that's you gotta look at it like that. They know that they're going to be a minority sooner or later. So what are they gonna do? They're gonna keep their supremacy up. It's what it is, man. You gotta realize that.
You know, that guy's name is Byron Donalds. That's the representative from Florida that has thrown his hat in the ring for Speaker of the House. You know, you have to understand, too, the importance of this position, because this person is third in line to the presidency. Third in line to the presidency. But here's the question, though, because now we have to start questioning Donald Trump's power to get people elected, because he endorsed Jim Jordan. And you see what happened with that whole situation. So, Vanessa, do you think that maybe his power is waning a little bit, Donald Trump? People are not just every time Donald Trump says something or promotes something or, you know, try to encourage people to try to convince people to vote for his particular candidate. You know, do you think now those pleas are falling on deaf ears?
Has
he lost his swag?
I think some, but not enough. Some people are pulling back from all of the madness of Trump, and they're trying to get it on key, but you still got those Donald Trumpster people who want the country to be in disarray like it is. They want the hatefulness to come back against the minorities. They want, like, what's her name, Green. And it's a few of them just not, you're not going to change them. They're just going to stay like that because they like that crap.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you something. Now, let me ask you this question. Now, when you say, well, okay, I hear what you're saying, but is that really true? Because think about it. Could we label those people as cowards? Because remember, when they had the public vote, there were only, you know, 20 defectors for Jim Jordan, you know, 19. But when they held a secret vote, there was over 100. So this is a situation that I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that these people are cowards. I think that they've, you know, there have been reports that people behind closed doors can't stand Donald Trump. But they know that he has, you know, he has the base. So they have to put on this, you know, this facade or, you know, put on this thing like they really support this guy. They really and truly don't. They can't stand him. Lindsey Graham is a perfect example of this. When he was running for president against Donald Trump in 2016, some of the things that he said about Donald Trump, you know, remains true to this day. But Lindsey Graham realized that his political future relied on kissing Donald Trump's ass, and so he became a permanent ass kisser of the Donald. But I know deep down inside he can't stand that guy. But they know the bases with him. So, Vanessa, when you say that some of them are, you know, I mean, how valid is a statement How valid is that statement when behind closed doors, you say, well, there are still a lot of them that support him. Behind closed doors, he lost over, Jim Jordan lost over half the Republican caucus. So is that really true, what you're saying?
I guess it's more than what I was thinking about. But, yes, it was 100 of them. So I guess it's more, but they're just chicken, Jay. They're just chicken. They won't step up and say it out loud.
Right.
It's just chicken.
What I can't understand is that, you know, he's a one-term president. And, you know, we're going to spend more time talking about this food during the next segment. But he's a one-term president, Mr. Elias. He's a guy that lost, you know, well, I can't, you know, listen, I'm on the different side when it says lost the midterms. Because they still control the House. So, I mean, listen, you can sit here and say what you want. Oh, they lost. They didn't win. It wasn't a red wave. I don't give a damn. They still have control of the House of Representatives, right? So, but a lot of his candidates that he support failed, you know. He's just a failure. He's a loser. And, you know, I think people are starting to, like, for example, the comments he made about the war in Israel. There are prominent Republicans who are coming out and speaking against him for his comments on what he said pertaining to, you know, the war that's going on between, you know, Hamas and Israel. So do you think support for this guy is starting to wane a little bit, Mr. Elias?
No, I don't. What I think is happening is that they'll speak out against the strong stuff like the Hamas stuff, but, hey, man, they still going back. You know, man, look, to me, if I'm not going to back you, I don't care. If my political career is in jeopardy, it's because I'm going to speak out and tell the truth. I got to. I'm not going to stand behind you and I know you're wrong, man. That, you know something, man? They're cowards. They are cowards from the depths of hell, man. Because they don't stand up and speak up for the American, people. They are. They're couched in the depths of hell. They are. The bottom line is you got to speak up for what you believe in. And if you don't believe in this guy, speak out against him. If it costs your political career, it costs your political career, but you have stood the test of time and told the truth. You know, and I get it.
You sound
crazy. Some people are scared of death. I sound crazy.
Yeah, you do.
How?
You sound crazy.
You got to stand up. The bottom line is, look, man, for you to sit there and it sounds crazy for standing up for the truth, then you sound crazy.
I'm saying you sound crazy because you know damn well that those people are cowards. You know damn well they're not going to speak. Stop it. You know,
man,
I'm playing your role. They're not going to do it.
Okay.
That's why you sound crazy. They haven't done it yet.
I want to post a question. What did y'all think about the fact that people called on Jim Jordan's side, called other people's spouses and said, your husband better vote for Jordan because if he doesn't, his career is going to be ruined. And they called people and threatened them to vote. They called one man and threw him out of his place, his office. They evicted
his
him
landlord
out of his office.
Did that. Yeah, his landlord, because he supports Jim Jordan. Once again, that sounds crazy, too. I mean, y'all act like, you know, when I say these things, y'all are, oh, Jay, you're naive. Y'all sound naive this morning. They haven't done this since 20. They haven't done this.
Y'all have called me naive.
Y'all have called me naive.
I didn't call you naive.
Yes, you did.
Jay.
Yeah, well, Jay, yeah, you should know better. You know better. Well, okay.
I'm saying what you should do. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
That's what I say, too. This is what they should do. This is why I don't understand why they do things like this. Well, you understand. Okay, I'm saying the same thing to you. You know why, Dan. You know damn well they're not going to step up and do it. You know why.
I'm saying what they should do. They should
do it. Well, okay.
They're probably scared for their lives, too, because they know they don't get death threats.
Well, I said that before too. And what you said? That's what you signed up for. That's what you signed up for. Okay.
That's what you signed up for.
Well, there you go.
That's what you signed up for. Hey man, you gotta get your constituents back. Your constituents. Tell the truth. That's what it's supposed to be about. Can't keep back in line.
Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Not going to happen. These people are, in order for you to run for office, you got to have an ego. They have egos beyond anything we've ever seen. At the end of the day, it's all about protecting themselves. They don't give a damn about their constituents. They, as a congressperson, that's got to be, in my opinion, one of the easiest jobs in the world where you work half a year. You get, benefits for the rest of your life. You make, probably anywhere between $175,000 to $200,000 a year, I think. I don't know what the salaries are. But the bottom line is it's a sham job. And so at the end of the day, why would you give that up? It's like when we talk about term limits on this show. Who's going to vote for term limits in Congress? Come on. I'm going to vote to be out of a job and, come on, stop it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. This world is made up of crazy and bad people. It's not going to happen. And some of those people are in Congress. People, election deniers. We're going to talk about this during the next segment of what's happening in Georgia. But you have some of these people who are in Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's going to, it's going to take an act of Congress to get her out of Congress. She's not, she's in. He's not going anywhere, right? Jim Jordan, he is good to go. Matt Gaetz, this guy was a part of some underage sex ring, and this joker is still in Congress. And they ended up dropping charges against him because the people that were involved, either they had some credibility issues with them or they didn't want to testify. You tell me what's going on. So y'all stop. Stop. It ain't going to change. It's not going to change. And I don't get it either.
But hope that it changes, because if it doesn't change, Jay,
it's not.
Then our children are going to be in a lot of trouble for the future.
Well, they are in trouble because it's not going to change, Vanessa. You know it and I know it. It's gotten worse. And everybody, President Obama got you. Okay. I told y'all when President Obama got elected what's going to happen. And that's what's happening. You scared the bejeebus out of these white folks out there. They were like, oh, my Lord, African-American is the most powerful man in the world. Man, we can't let that happen again. Let's one the twins unite. Let's shut all this mess down. It's time to play chess. It's time to start gerrymandering districts. It's time to do the things to keep us in power. I just think it's going to be lifetimes before this thing even evens out. Our kids, their kids, and their kids are going to be dead and gone by the time this thing, in my opinion, gets back on an even keel. If it ever does, I just don't see how. As long as they remain in power, they've already proven that if they have, they're going to be in the minority here real soon. And they're still running things. So you tell me. Well, we can outnumber. Well, okay. They're going to be outnumbered here, what, in 2035? Is that what the census is saying? They're still running things.
How about those people that don't vote get out and vote?
Yeah, but you can go and vote all you want to. If they're going to gerrymander districts, it doesn't matter. Because all they're going to do is lump all the black people. They're going to break down the congressional district and put all the black
people
in one area.
Not all the people that don't vote are black, Jay. Not all the people that don't vote are black.
Yeah, but, okay, that's true. But they're not dumb, man. You are fighting a super collective power here. These people are not dumb. They've been doing this for a long time. There's no way this country is
center
left.
They have not thought of every way to block you, because if they would have, they'd have done it in Georgia. They caught them by surprise in Georgia, right? Then what?
Kemp is the freaking governor, because it's time to start doing some undermining stuff. Start canceling votes. These people ain't gonna go down without a fight. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. They fighting. Mm-hmm. They not going out without a fight. You can forget that. You better bring your A game.
They're not gonna go down without cheating. I think that the Republicans know that the only way that they're going to get in is cheating.
Well, Captain Obvious, well, I believe it too, Captain Obvious. And like they said in racing, they said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's just the way it is. Oh, my God, I can't stand this country sometimes. All right, it is time to take a break. It's time for, in 4 minutes or less, Vina time, in 4 minutes or less, something that you need to know. Coming up next, more topics, more conversation, more fun, more tears. It is the Serious Side here on a beautiful Sunday, 347-850-1272, as we continue to think about the cowboy. Momo B, we love you. Right back after this small break.
Turmoil on Capitol Hill was one for the history books, and that's made for some very timely discussions in high school civics classes. NPR's Laurel Wamsley and Meg Anderson spent time in classrooms in Washington, D.C. and Minneapolis to hear what teachers and students had to say. Now, quick note, we're not using students' last names because they're minors.
Less than 2 miles northeast of the U.S. Capitol building, seniors in the AP government class at KIPP D.C. College Prep take their seats. Today's lesson? What just happened in the House of Representatives? Here's teacher Christopher Glevich.
Well, it happened last night.
He hits play on a video.
The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant. Oh.
This has never happened before in American history.
Glevich hands out a news article about Speaker Kevin McCarthy's ouster for students to read and discuss. The timing was good. The class had just covered the legislative branch and its leaders. The upheaval on Capitol Hill is a chance for the class to look at how well, or not, that structure is working right now. Glevich asks why a small group of fellow Republicans went after McCarthy.
Trump starts off.
They decided to remove him because he was siding with the Democrats at certain times.
He sided with the Democrats. But, like, aren't you supposed to work together?
Yeah.
Scott?
I feel like that's how it's supposed to be, but how Congress is set up now, it's like Republicans and Democrats will always have that separation going on because there's certain situations that they cannot agree on and they don't agree on.
Polarization was also top of mind in Joe Canale's class at Hiawatha Collegiate High School in Minneapolis.
All right, seniors, I will turn off my voice and hand it over to you guys.
A senior named Luke said it can be good to disagree.
But I think that if those disagreements become demonizing each other just because you have those different values, you're never actually going to get common ground.
But his classmate Sarah said sometimes stakes are too high to not fight for your beliefs.
If we talk about the Supreme Court decision about, like, overturning Roe v. Wade, it feels like sometimes there needs to be polarization because sometimes, like, the things that are happening in the government, it's like a direct attack on someone's identity.
These conversations about government aren't really a priority in a lot of schools. That's according to Kay Kawashima Ginsburg, who researches civics education at Tufts University.
One of the things about civic education that's challenging is that we neglected it for the past 3 decades or so, for sure.
She says that's a problem because not only does civics education teach how the government is supposed to work, it also teaches students how to disagree with one another in a productive way.
He's got an idea.
In the Minneapolis class, Zachariah told me that being productive is exactly what's not happening in Congress. But he's not sure they care what he thinks.
When you think about, like, the government, mm-hmm. do you feel like that stuff is, like, far away from your life? Or do you feel
I think it's, like, super far. It's like, we're not in, like, the same place. Like, what I say, like, right now, if I had an opinion, like, it wouldn't really matter to them. They're all, like, closed-door meetings, like, all the rules that they make.
His teacher, Joe Canale, was across the room listening.
I'd like to think that Zach is, that's not where he's going to end his journey, but I do think civics and government class, if it's done right, does help students to understand more of those systems that are in place. If they're already in, they're experiencing it, it just gives them vocabulary
to make sense of what's happening on Capitol Hill and to recognize whether Congress is functioning like it should. Meg Anderson, NPR News, Minneapolis.
And I'm Laurel Wamsley in Washington.
Hi, I'm Dr. Emily Vincent, part of the clinical team at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Louisiana. It's October, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Breast cancer is the most common cancer in American women, and it's the second leading cause of cancer death for women. The good news is there is great screening that can catch breast cancer early, when treatment is most likely to be successful. Start with breast self-awareness. You know your body better than anyone. If you notice something unusual or different, talk to your doctor. And begin having mammograms when your doctor recommends them. Usually that's around age 40, but it can be different for everyone, depending on your health history and risk factors. Talk to your doctor or gynecologist about breast cancer screening and what you should do. It could save your life.
Online radio at its best.
And this rogue judge, a Trump hater, the only one that hates Trump more is his associate up there, his person that works with him. She's screaming into his ear and almost every time we ask a question. Disgrace. You want to know the truth? It's a disgrace. So this rogue judge refuses to acknowledge the fact that we won 80% of this case in the appellate division, including statute of limitations. You know, in the statute of limitations, you have a period of time. He wants to go back so far that nobody's ever even heard of such a ridiculous thing.
That was the 45th president of the United States, the Honorable Donald Trump, stating his true feelings about what is going on in his trial in New York. But we're going to focus on his trial in Georgia. You know, some of the co-defendants in the Georgia election interference case, they're starting to reach plea deals. One person, attorney Kenneth Chesbro, one of 18 defendants charged along with Trump in Fulton County, in the Fulton County case, racketeering case. He did reject an offer from prosecutors, but he did cut a deal that would allow him to avoid prison time by pleading guilty to one felony count of racketeering, and he promised that he would, you know, be forthright and testify in upcoming cases. He also has to write a letter of apology to the state of Georgia. And I'm here to tell you that the walls are closing in on one Donald Trump. Let me say this, because you know how I do this. Every time something major happens with Donald Trump, I always ask my colleagues the same question. And Mr. Elias, so far, Mr. Elias has said no. No, let me ask the question, and then I'll give you the results of what they've said in the past. So now, Mr. Elias, two co-defendants have decided to plea out against Donald, to plea out to avoid jail time. Got some pretty light sentences, but they also agreed that they would testify in upcoming trials, which we all know Donald Trump would be a part of that. So my question to you, do you think Donald Trump is going to jail?
I'll tell you the same thing I told you before in all the words of Bush and Bullwinkle. Hell no! No, no, no!
And he's, and ladies and gentlemen, he has been consistent with that thought, which makes it easy so I don't have to go back and pull audio up of him saying this, because he's been consistent. Vanessa, I turn to you. Now that two of the, I think, 18 or 19 people who were charged in the Fulton, that were charged in Fulton County, the Georgia case, two of them are flipped. And we're talking about two important people. Sidney Powell was a person that stood before the cameras right next to, you know, Rudolph Giuliani and told lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And she had to admit in court if she was guilty of telling lies pertaining to that particular case. And now Chesbro, this guy, once again, and I think I read that wrong, he actually rejected a plea deal in the beginning. But now, when he gets closer, you know what they say, when you start getting closer to the damn oven and you start feeling the heat, you have to make a career decision. You know, you have to make a career decision. And the career decision he made was, I don't want to go to jail. I could talk all that stuff in the beginning, but now that it's getting close, it's showtime. Now, what did Alonzo say, Mr. Elias, on the training day when he had the guy against the fence and he had the two guns up against his nuts? He said, man, make a decision. Make a decision. Decision time for old Chess Bro. He decided to take a walk on the safe side. And so, Vanessa, my question to you is, do you think Donald Trump is going to spend some time in jail?
I keep saying he do 2 days in jail with a computer and a telephone. No, he's not going to do a long. I keep telling you that man is going to have a desk and a telephone and a computer, and he's going to be in a jail cell with his service for 2 days, and they're going to release him. That man ain't got no time.
Now, listen, in fairness to you, you changed slightly because first you were saying no, but you have changed here in the last 6 months or so
I'm still saying no, he's not doing any time. And I've always said that he's going to be a different computer like that other man was. I've always said that. But
what
he's
other
not going to do any time. He's not going to do it.
You,
that man would commit suicide.
I'm gonna have to go pull it up. You said that he wasn't going to jail. And in the last 6 or 7 months, you have changed. Now, I will say this. You have been consistent with this one. That he's not going to jail for no significant period of time. He's going to go and he's going to spend a few hours or whatever you said.
I always said that he ain't going to do no significant. He ain't doing no jail time. Because even Jerome has even started saying, like me, 2 days.
Jerome has changed a little bit. Jerome is leaning more on my side, which is something that's unusual. But he's saying more than that. Not no 2 days. Now, I'm going to go on a record.
With this, I do not believe that Donald Trump is going to go do no jail. Donald Trump is
number
not
one. Now, see,
no
but
no
you
jail.
Changed, but see, now you're changing your stance because Mr. Elliott said he's not going to jail at all. You said 2 days.
Oh, you're
so
he
now,
going at
who you with?
Are you saying he's not even going to stay in there 24 hours?
No,
not one day. Not one day.
Oh, no. I don't believe that. No.
So you're not with him.
No. I've always said he's going to have a desk and a computer just like that man did. And he's going to be in a
computer. You don't use a computer. What are you talking about? I guess you just – you don't use a computer. Okay. So, okay, so you're – no, he does not use a computer. You know that. Okay, so you're saying 2 days. Okay, you're saying 2 days, a day or so, whatever. Mr. Elias is saying he's not even going to see the inside of a prison cell. And I'm saying that his ass is going to jail. Now, I don't know how long he's going to jail, but he's going to jail. Donald Trump ain't going to commit suicide. Donald Trump's a coward. He'll never take his own life. Are you kidding me? Stop.
If this man was the president of the United States, you think he's going to jail? Yeah, I do.
He has over 90 counts. The walls are – let me tell you something. These two people – now, Chess Bro is the guy who was the architect of a lot of this stuff.
And
he has cleared out, Mr. Elias.
Donald Trump is going to flip on it. Come on, let's just be honest.
Flip to do what? Who is he flipping on? Himself?
He's going to flip, and he's not going to pay that bill. That's why
on who, Mr. On who?
That's why he's not paying his people's bills like he told him he would.
But wait, my hand is up.
You sound.
Les, calm down. Les. Who is he going to flip on?
He does have some anger issues.
Hey,
he does have anger management issues.
No, you have anger issues. No, who's he going to flip? Look, these people, I didn't say he was. I said these people are flipping on him because they know he's going to pay their bills. They know. They know what Donald Trump is capable of.
But
do you think he's paying his bills?
What are you talking about?
Did he tell Rudy Giuliani he's going to pay for his lawyers? You tell the cat that was
dead. But Rudy Giuliani has it flipped.
Okay.
Even the mob killer.
Rudy Giuliani hasn't said, yeah, I'm guilty of this.
Giuliani has not taken a plea deal, sir. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what headlines you're reading.
He pled guilty in Georgia.
Mr. Elias, I think you got your facts wrong, man. But go ahead. I'll let you finish.
I got my facts wrong. Okay.
I think
and then
do.
On top of that, he told the other cat that he told to get rid of the paperwork that he was going to pay for his lawyers. Ain't paid for them yet either.
Yeah, but
Rudy Giuliani had to apologize to these people in Georgia. For the election
that
fraud.
Was a different no, that was a different case. You're talking about the. Go ahead, Miss Elliott.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He pled guilty to that. You just said he didn't. I'm talking about a different case. He already pled guilty, but you want me to tell me that he didn't? And he's already pled guilty to that, to the election fraud. You just said he didn't.
Oh my goodness. That was a civil case, Mr. Elias, that was brought by the poll workers. That's not what we're talking about. What are you? Okay, fine.
Okay.
That was a case against the two ladies that were. That's
exactly.
A civil case, and he had to.
Okay, and you think that,
that's
not
what we're talking about?
To the other case. You don't think that's going to roll over to the other case?
Well, he hasn't yet.
You said I was wrong. Okay, you're right.
He probably will. But he hasn't yet.
Okay. Bottom line is, Trump told him he was going to pay for his lawyers, didn't he? Did he pay for him? Did Trump even pay for him to go out there and protect him? Trump ain't paid him yet.
I'm not even following your correlation, but okay, but maybe it's me. I'm not even understanding where you're going with this, but maybe it's me. Vanessa, do you understand what he's talking
about?
Because
they know Trump is not going to pay for their legal fees. I know I just said that. So why are
they're
you
not,
following that?
Let me ask you something.
How did that
so
come
do
into
you
play?
Let me ask him this question real quick. Do you honestly think these people are flipping because he's not paying for their attorney fees? Are they flipping because they don't want to go to jail? Are you kidding? They're flipping because guess what? They're saying, guess what? We're gonna give you an opportunity. Because you want to go home or you want to go to jail?
When he gets out of this thing, maybe my word works out for you.
Trust me, I will. I will.
Uh-huh.
But you're saying people are flipping because he's not paying for their attorney fees.
I know. Rudy is, because he told Rudy he's going to pay him.
Well, he hasn't flipped yet.
Okay,
you keep saying
right.
he hasn't flipped yet, Mr. Elias.
Okay. Did he apologize to those women? So you don't think in Georgia he's going to flip?
That wasn't a flip. That was a civil case against him.
And what did he say?
It was against him. He was a defendant.
So what happens when he goes to court for this case? He's going to say, nope, I said that, but I didn't say this. Come on, man. The two correlate together. They don't.
Okay.
They don't.
All right.
Drink a cup of chill out.
Vanessa, go ahead. You said you wanted to say something. I'm done.
You can hold me to 2 days in jail with a telephone, and I'm going to still say with a computer, but for sure a telephone and a desk. I don't know about, and Giuliani ain't got no money, and Trump is up on stage at one of his rallies saying that people needed to support Giuliani financially to help with his attorney fees. The My Pillow man is crying that he ain't got no damn money, that he didn't file bankruptcy. So everybody in the circle is broke. And yesterday in the newspaper, we saw a picture of Jesus with his hand on Donald Trump's shoulder in the courtroom, and they selling the picture for $20. So they getting desperate, honey. So I don't know how Trump's going to pay for anybody's anything. I just don't when he's up there begging people to help put money in. So I'm trying to follow what Les is saying, but I'm not seeing it on my side because I even started looking at Fox. So Bobby and I started looking at Fox just to see what Fox has got to say about all this mess that's going on. And they aren't really saying anything about Biden other than Biden shouldn't spend so much Americans' money on $100 billion. You know, in armory and all of this other stuff.
But they're not really talking about Trump either. They're not, but they did talk about the MyPillow guy filed bankruptcy and ain't got no money, and he pleads, and Giuliani ain't got no money. Even they're talking about Giuliani ain't got no money and Trump can't help him. So I don't know. I'm looking at all of them because I want to know what all of them got to say about this mess that's going on.
Well,
but
look,
that's just
let me
us
just,
over here.
Well, let me tell you something. The walls are closing in on him. That's why he's panicking. He was just hit with a $5,000 contempt of court charge in the New York case. The walls are closing in on him, and people are coming after him. And, you know, that guy, I'm going to – if he gets out of this, I'm going to call him Houdini. Because there's no way. Houdini.
You're going to call him what?
You're going to call him
Houdini.
Harry. You're going to call him
you
Harry.
Better make a phone call.
Harry Houdini.
You better make a phone call.
There's no way. There is no way. The only way, and I said this before, y'all said I was changing my mind, but I'm going to say it again. The only way he gets out of this is if he makes a plea deal. That's the only way he's going to get out of this. And
but
I don't. I think he's.
What's the plea deal going to be again?
Well,
I mean,
think
who?
The plea deal. I think. The plea deal would be you have to promise not to run for president, which to me is stupid because he's not going to win anyway.
Okay.
You have to plead.
He's not
going to
get away with all of that stuff based on just him saying a plea deal. Now, he might get away with it if he said he's crazy.
I think he's crazy.
You're not paying attention to the polls. He's ahead. And people under 30, he's ahead of Biden by God knows how many.
Yeah, but you know what? But polls are a national poll. You know, if that's the case, we can't trust that because elections are not on a national level. Because if there is on a national level, none of the Republicans who have won the last two Republican presidents would have not been in power because they lost the popular vote. You can't look at that.
Yeah. Bottom line is he's ahead of Biden in the polls right now.
Well, yeah, but that's a national poll. It's not broken down by districts and states and all that stuff. And yeah, so that sounds great. Because remember, they were saying that President Obama was going to lose to Mitt Romney. Oh, the polls are closed. Matter of fact, Mitt Romney was looking at those same polls and had prepared a victory speech. And then he got blown out when everything was all – when it was all said and done. He got blown out like the other guy did. So you can say that. National polls can say whatever. But we know that this country is not based. It's not. It doesn't work that way. We have electoral colleges. I don't think he's going to win the presidency. There's no way. Polls are saying that the Republicans are going to have a huge majority in Congress. But guess what? It didn't happen.
Okay.
The only way this guy, and I still can't see it. But the only way, in my opinion, he gets out of this is that he pleads out. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that can save him. And I think it's past that point. How do you get out of 90 counts? 90 over 90 counts. These are federal charges. I don't see how he does. I just don't see how he gets out of it. I don't see how, unless here's the other scenario that I would throw out there. Because this is a real scenario, too. If a Republican wins the presidency and they pardon him, but that's not going to take care of the Georgia. Well, but that's not going to take care of the Georgia situation. But the Georgia
situation. If he wins the presidency, you don't think he's going to pardon himself?
He's a Republican. That's what I just said. If a Republican wins the presidency, that includes him. But he can pardon himself. All he's doing. Okay, so let's play that out. I'm glad you said that. Let's say that he wins the presidency. You're right. He's going to pardon himself out of all the federal charges, but he still has a New York charge. Alvin Bratton, that guy still has charges against him, and he still has Georgia.
Letitia James' charge is not for jail time, though.
No. But no, Alan Bragg's are.
So you're
right. We'll see. So what happened is, let's say he wins, right? All he's doing is delaying what's going to happen in Georgia for 4 years.
Okay.
I just don't see how he gets out of it.
Okay.
But listen, like you said, I never thought that I would see planes, you know, flying to the World Trade Center. I never thought that I would ever see and live to see a black president. Hell, I never thought that he would win the presidency. He isn't Trump. So, hey, I've been wrong before. That's for damn sure. But I just can't see.
They are not going to
say what now? Okay,
all right,
okay. Well, you said what you had to say. I don't believe it. I think he's going to jail. I think he's going to spend some time in jail. But, you know, hey, I could be wrong. But I think he's going to jail. I really do. I don't see how he gets out of it.
When you say some time in jail, time in jail could be because they can hold somebody for 72 hours. So when you say time in jail.
He's already done that.
Okay, well, are you meaning jail time locked up in an orange suit?
Yes. That's what I mean. Jail. I'm talking about prison. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, to answer your question, yes. That's exactly.
Oh, my God, you're telling Michael Jackson.
You keep dreaming.
You keep dreaming.
Oh, gosh. You have to love this country of ours. 347-850-1272. As we continue to remember the cowboy, I tell you what, man. I wish I could have gotten some clips together of Momo B talking about her dad, man. But, you know, we love Momo, and we'll continue to. And people are starting to respond, too. We'll read those during the State's Case portion of the show as well. We'll step out, take a break. It's time for our Mariana Music Break, 347-850-1272. We'll be right back to continue this nonsense that we call the serious side of the Jay Brown Show.
That we're still living.
Odds of becoming an astronaut, 1 in 13,200,000. Odds of being struck by lightning, 1 in 576,000. Odds of dating a supermodel, 1 in 88,000. Odds of bowling a perfect game, 1 in 11,500. Odds of being trapped in an elevator, 1 in 24,528. Odds of catching a ball at a major league game, 1 in 563. Odds of an injury from shaving, 1 in 6,585. Odds of tripping while texting, 1 in 10. Odds of getting cancer in your lifetime, 1 in 2 men, 1 in 3 women.
It's up to us
to change the odds for our generation.
For the ones we love.
For our future.
If you don't like the odds, stand up. Stand up to cancer.
Online radio at its best.
Tonight on The Border, the ongoing surge in illegal crossings, averaging more than 9,000 a day in just the last week. Border officials tell NBC News. And now new fallout after that broken campaign pledge from President Biden, funding nearly 20 miles of new border wall in Starr County, Texas. The president again today defending the decision.
Well, I was told that I had no choice. I can't say I don't like it. I'm not going to do it.
The money allocated by Congress during the Trump administration. Mr. Biden saying he tried to get lawmakers to change it, but they refused, and the law required the wall money to be spent. Now he's facing bipartisan criticism, including from key Democrats upset over the new wall.
I think it's a terrible idea. I think it's a broken promise.
After then-candidate Biden said this during the campaign.
There will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
While Republicans say Biden border policies are encouraging the migrant surge, reactions tonight here in Starr County, where the additional wall would go up.
We need more 20 miles. Make it 40 or 60.
County Judge Eloy Vettis says he still has not been told where exactly the wall would go.
We have a lot of questions, and personally, a lot of things that I don't agree with.
The Rio Grande Valley needs a solution,
yes,
but you don't believe the wall's the answer.
Exactly.
The move comes as so many keep making the dangerous trek north.
Ethan and me.
At a border shelter, we met Gracia from Venezuela and Rosa from Ecuador, who say they were robbed in Mexico and frightened, but want to work hard here for their families. A dream shared by so many others that today, while visiting Mexico City, New York City's Mayor Eric Adams shared what he says is the sobering reality, with New York City's resources stretched thin by 120,000 migrants.
We want to give a real picture of what's happening in New York City. We are at capacity.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272. It is 20 minutes after the top of the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best. Area residents thought that their land was safe after Trump's wall plans were foiled, according to those who are familiar with the situation, only to discover that Biden's plan is to build more wall. This is a situation, a lot of people feel that they were backstabbed in this situation, because now as they build wall, that means the government will have the ability to do an ultimate domain type seizure and take land from people who have property against that U.S.-Mexican border wall. A lot of Democrats are saying that they feel slighted. They feel that this is a broken campaign promise. The immigration crisis in this country is something that you can't turn a blind eye to. I don't know how you resolve this because people are coming in this country by droves. And, you know, according to President Biden, you know, his hands were tied. It was almost as if, and this is the way I understand it, that maybe the money was already appropriated for it, and, you know, you can't take that money. Either you use it or lose it. I don't know. That's just my simple way of saying it. But, you know, nevertheless, this is an issue. And I know, Vanessa, you have strong feelings about, you know, how we treat our migrants, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot because I think I'm not. I think at some point, and this is just a public service announcement, because it takes a lot for me to go and pull comments from different places where you guys can leave your comments. So I think I'm going to cut it off at around, you know, the bottom of the hour of the third set because it's too much work to, because I got to pull it down and copy it, and you know, it's just a lot of work. So I think I'm not going to reach out after this segment, which means you can speak freely, Vanessa, because I'm pretty sure that you're going to say something that people are going to be like, rah, 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 and so I won't read it on today's show.
No.
Well, I mean, because you know your comments when it comes to border and immigrants. So let me just let you have the floor. I mean, what do you think? First of all, what do you think about the fact that the Biden administration, they're gonna build more wall when, you know, President Biden said, I'm not, you know, we're going to shut it down. Now they're building more wall. And according to the president, you know, he has no choice in the matter.
As long as we have Abbott in the state of Texas, Abbott's going to put the migrants on the bus and send them to Cape Cod and New York and every damn where else, because we don't want them in Texas. You know, I feel sorry for them. But am I getting sick of all of the migrant stuff that's going on? I really, really am.
There it is.
I really am. I just...
What do you mean the migrant stuff? What do you mean? Please explain. What do you mean you're getting sick of all the migrant stuff? Please be more specific. What do you mean by that?
Shipping them everywhere to different states to prove a point.
Well, that's not your fault.
No, that's not. That's Abbott. That's what I'm telling you. It's Abbott and the man.
And DeSantis. Don't forget that clown.
Yes. And so I don't want them all here. And I don't want them all here because I used to work in the welfare office and they got the same names as their children so that they can get benefits and all of that stuff and our people can't even get it. I just think that there's got to be a way to stop them in Mexico before they come over here. Like,
well, what do you mean to stop them in Mexico? What does that mean?
I just think that there's got to be a way to stop those people before they make it all the way over here to the United States. It's just got to be a way to do it.
Okay. Well, you know, people can come here for political...
Jay, I don't know what the answer to this is. I just know that it's going to have to come. These people are flooding over here like no, not one. They are overflowing over here. Now, grant you, migrants will do jobs that regular United States citizens ain't going to do.
Okay.
So we do need them over in Florida picking oranges and that kind of stuff at $5 an hour. We do need some of the migrants over here as the yard people because ain't no black yard people over in my neighborhood. So I'm just, it's just not simply a way. It's just got to be a way, Jay, to stop all people from flowing over here and say we have to float them to another state because we don't want them here. But there's no more room in Texas for nothing. I don't want no damn body else moving to Texas other than Les. I mean, we need to put up a billboard. Texas is closed. I'm serious. I am serious. Everybody is running to Texas, and I don't even know why, other than the cost of living is reasonable here. I'm sick of everybody flowing here. And everybody's saying that. All the Texas people are saying, we need a billboard to say we're closed. But I don't know. I don't know what to say about these migrant people. I hate that the children are sleeping on the street. I hate that they don't have anywhere to go. That's not the United States problem at this point in time.
It's not right now.
I can't have too much sympathy for them right now. I can't. Wow. I have a $300 water bill and a $400 light bill until next month, so I can't help them.
I don't have a high water bill, but my light bill is always high. Wow. Okay. That's interesting. And like I said, I'm not retrieving any more comments. So if you're about to write in or send something about what Vanessa just said, it's not going to get read on the air. So I'm just letting you know. So don't waste your time. And I know they're coming in. Let's bring in the smartest man in the world, Mr. Jerome Esprit, is in the house. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Hey, Vanessa.
Good morning, Jerome. Good morning.
Calling in to chew me out.
No, I did not. That's my tie. No, I don't come in here to bring bad news. You get me?
I said, hey, Vanessa,
because You was expecting when Vanessa say something that everybody was going to jump on her, but that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to jump on Vanessa. Okay. Are you kidding me?
Here you go. All righty, Vanessa, you're safe. All right, so, but I think we all can agree that, yeah, what's happening at the border is something that, what's the answer? I mean, Jerome, you're here, man. We haven't heard from you. I mean, what's the answer to this thing, man? How, I mean, are we going to ever resolve what's happening at the southern border?
Well, two things. I don't know the answer to the question, but I can tell you the cause of the question, and we are technically the cause of the question. Now, the United States has a lot of land we don't use, so it's not that big of a deal that people are coming here. It's just when they go to bigger cities or crowded places and, you know, are getting on services that taxpayers have to pay, that's different. But when you're talking about migrant workers, we've always had that. We get them in New York State, farm worker stuff. We're a dairy state, New York State is. It's not a just because in New York City, we're not financed, so we make, you know, the yogurt stuff and all of that, apples. That stuff is New York State, grapes. So we get a lot of migrant. We have a migrant farms workers union here. But we always get migrant workers, and they always leave. They come here during season, and then they leave. They just want to help their families back home. So if they can make a little money here, ship it back home, that's usually what normally happens. That's always happened. But the problem with our, you know, immigration system is the way that we kind of, you know, we act as colonizers across this planet, right? We upset those governments, make them unstable, and then now they're running to here because they say, oh, you have all the wealth. But we have all the wealth because we are manipulating their governments. So if we can't be honest about it, we can't ever fix that problem. So even if you look at someone like Venezuela, who has, I think they have, you know, the fourth highest oil reserves, and they're like one of the poorest countries. And you know why? Because every time they democratically elect a leader, we undermine them. We make sure they have dictators because we don't want them to have power because they have oil money, just like we did in Libya, just like we did in Iraq. That is not something that we should sit high on a horse, and we are watching across the planet that people are in different countries are really turning against European power because as dictators and as, you know, colonizers, we have gone around the planet and sucked everybody for resources that gave us money and power, and now we act like, oh, you poor people. So, you know, people are coming to the United States because we suck the resources out of everybody else, just like Britain did, just like France does. So we won't look at this world realistically to figure out how to fix something because we keep wanting to put a Band-Aid on it. And so when you look at conservative people, they're just like, we don't want these people over here. And it's like, well, you shouldn't have been over there. It's a part of that problem. So I think when it comes to a political solution to anything, we need to, if you want to fix it, you need to deal with the cause and not the symptoms. We're always treating symptoms. That's why we don't cure anything in this country. There's money in the treatment and not the cure. And so that's our policy. We just put a Band-Aid on stuff and keep going. But I don't think the United States is ever going to get over flooded with people. That's nonsense. You know how much land we have in the United States. The problem is that people in this country are so rigid in the way they think, they can't let anybody else be free in this country but white folks. So even if black people set up, you know, their own towns and own villages and stuff, you know, white folks will come and burn it down. It's kind of their MO when it really comes down to it. And so nobody, if we don't deal with it honestly, we can't fix problems.
I've logged into a computer, so it's not syncing or anything like that. What you have to do is simply...
Oh, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But
that's the more of the story that we really don't get a good a handle on what causes problems, so we can't fix them. So a part of our immigration problem is not dealing honestly with what the cause of it is. And like Vanessa said, if they stop them in Mexico from coming over, but Mexico is doing their job. They are vetting some of these people that come over, and when they don't, they just kind of take another route into this country because you can smuggle people in underground. But the vast majority of people who are coming in here are running from something. And that's just our immigration policy, is that when you are dealing with a dictator or any of that stuff, or tyranny or whatever, persecution, we're supposed to be, you know, give us your huddled masses, like give us your weak and whatever. That's how we built this country, is on immigration. But we changed this policy that it can only be European immigration. And anytime anybody of color wants to come over here, then we have problems. I mean, I know there's language differences, but we have to grow up. We really do. Because
yeah,
everybody's hating us on this planet because we won't grow up.
Yeah, you talked about the oil reserves. And I said, hey, that's interesting. I just looked it up. So, I mean, the number one largest reserve is in Venezuela. Number two is in Saudi. Number three is in, I think, Venezuela. Did it say that? Number four is in Canada.
Venezuela, I think, was three.
And number
five
is in Iraq.
Oh. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Well, you're leaving out Libya. Libya has what's called sweet crude oil, which means it doesn't really need to be treated as much. And so the point that Libya went to, you know, sell their oil in euros is when we went over and killed that guy. And then when Venezuela wanted to sell their oil, not in the U.S. dollar, they wanted to change it to euros as well, and we went in and got the Venezuela president. So, you know, those countries seem like they're poor and all this chaos and stuff, but I want to, you know, have people kind of wake up to say, do you know why that is? Right? Oil is money. It's why we went into Iraq. It was no other reason. Right? We knew there was no weapons of mass destruction. But they sold that. And
that.
What?
Go ahead. No, I was wrong.
Were you wrong?
Number three is Iran. I'm sorry, I said Venezuela. Venezuela's not in the top five, I don't think. Yeah. But good points. I mean, it's interesting.
But I think they are. Like we have in this country Citgo, right, as a gas station. That's Venezuela's U.S. subsidiary. That's Venezuela Oil. They're not pumping as much oil is because now they have a dictator. When they democratically elected somebody, they were pumping oil and they were putting it out, and the U.S. couldn't have Venezuela as a big player in that piece, and we did something, right? So I won't go into that because I know it'll be a long show, but, you know, we do that. And it's kind of like, I know you guys probably covered this earlier, but it's kind of like looking at the Israel stuff. You know, people are getting hot at that, but they have no concept or, you know, concept of history. We're backing somebody who went and who were, you know, have one of the largest open-air prisons in the world. Israel is starving out 2 million people, cutting off their water and electricity and food sources, won't even let them fish in the Mediterranean. And we sit here and go, ooh, look what happened to Israel. And the genocide is going on. And I know everybody gets a little squeamish because of that, but we have to deal with life. If we don't get a handle as Americans and start dealing with people across this planet, honestly, we are going to be the pariahs. Every great society has crashed because of this reason. So we can act blind if we want to, but you won't be able to travel anyplace ever again. So we need to start dealing with
again. Venezuela is actually number one. I was wrong. I'm just read this thing.
But
go ahead, Vanessa.
He's sending help, and he's trying to get that bill passed, in which I don't mind them sending money to help, because I think that, to me and everybody else, that's the promised land that they're over there defending. So I for sure want them to send money over there to help the promised land. But this is my deal. If he had said, well, we've got some other countries that are going to put in on this, he ain't got to name names, Jerome, but if he said, we've got some other countries that are going to put in on this $100 billion, then some people like me, and I'm sure there are some other people who just don't want to say it out loud, might not have as big a problem with sending $100 billion over there. He said the United States was sending it. He didn't say that group of eight or whatever it is was putting in.
Because he can't get a group of eight. He can't. See, here's the problem. So here's what we're missing with our own propaganda against ourselves. So he can't get a group of eight because for 70 years, they've been oppressing people in Palestine, right? They had an agreement in 1967 for a solution to this, and they've been violating that thing since. And if you don't know, because our news is not reporting this, Netanyahu disbanded their Supreme Court a few months back. So they were planning on, I think this weekend, a rally to try to get rid of Netanyahu. Like about, you know, they were expecting like damn near 100,000 people of Israelis trying to get rid of their government. And then next thing you know, oh, nope, they're bombing us. So we need to stick together. Propaganda. That's all I'm saying. So don't watch your news and say, tell us what it is that's going on, because a part of the same system is creating the same system that said they have a weapon of mass destruction. We got suckered by that before, and we should be getting smarter. So when I watch people on TV saying, how come everybody's not upset what's going on over there, is because when they started the rumors that these babies are getting beheaded, people are losing their mind. And then when it came across to say, wait a minute, there was no evidence of that, but everybody, even the president, went off and said that to make you feel some kind of way so they can go in and slaughter people. It is
sick.
Yeah,
we saw pictures of bodies.
Yeah,
I saw it on TV.
But what I'm saying is that you're looking at something that you're talking about a wag the dog kind of situation. They have been disproving some of the images that came out there were images from years prior or a few months prior to that happening. They're pros at propaganda. And I'm saying, just like with the Iraq weapons of mass destruction, we can't wait 2 years later to be like, oh, they was lying. You should not do that. In real time, we have to have common sense.
Did you see the girl who was saved by the man, by her friends? They were at the festival, and the girl and her friends in a group kept running this direction, running that direction, until this man came through with a truck and saved them. This girl said that they went back in a direction and saw their friends' heads shot off of their body. So some of this
stuff is not propaganda. Okay,
it's
wait a minute.
So these are people who were interviewed. Call my ass gullible. I believe it.
Yeah, so did you see that same festival took place 2 months prior to that happening? They actually zoomed in on it, and I forgot what the artist was who was performing there, and that did not happen when that whole thing happened. So even as they disprove this stuff in real time, you still have people going up. And, again, they're pros at this. You know, like I'm not, you know, getting in this fight of calling names one way or another. I am just saying to you that as consumers of this stuff, we have to pay attention. It is our job to pay attention, not for someone to tell us. And I'll do a really quick story. I remember when, you know, Katrina happened and there was reports of people getting raped in the Superdome. And I was on the phone with someone and they were like, hey, did you hear there's reports of people getting raped? And I said to the black person I was talking to, think about this. If you was there as a black man, would you let somebody black get raped? And he said, no. I said, you know that didn't happen, right?
We were just reading about this in the Bible, Philippians, on Wednesday, where it was talking about the people who were marched down the street naked and was some of them were raped outright. This happened just a week ago, and people were saying this.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well,
right.
I believe
what
the Bible says, and I believe that it is coming back to pass. I believe that it happened the other day.
Right, I'm going to have to step in. So, let me step in because we're going way over, and we still have something else to talk about. I appreciate it.
My bad.
Comment,
I didn't mean to tie that.
No, it's okay.
But,
No, listen, we're a talk show. No. We're fine.
I just wanted to make a comparison of saying that when we're talking about immigration and things like that, that we're always kind of fed propaganda inside of our news so that we start to have some kind of feeling about something. But like I said, I've dealt with the farm workers union folks and immigrants who've come up here and you know, did they, and I don't mean to relegate them to apple picking and farm work, but that's what they come up here for, to make a few bucks so they can go back home. And I think we kind of need to say we need that for our economy. We just kind of need to work with immigration a little bit differently. opposed to pointing the finger, because we have these sensationalized cases and saying, "Oh, somebody got raped," or "somebody got that." Like, those are outliers, and so we need to kind of see it for what it's worth. But until we kind of see through propaganda, then we can't make good decisions. We can't make good decisions based on propaganda.
All right, we'll be right back.
Come on, let's go.
Just a minute, I gotta finish this.
Wait, you're gonna post those pictures of Mary?
Yep. She thinks she's so hot.
But her mom and dad will see them. Her grandmother, her little sister, everyone she knows, it's gonna kill her.
Who cares? Just a couple of pictures. It's no big deal.
No big deal? Don't. This has gotta stop.
Stop cyberbullying. The results could be deadly.
And we're live. Produced by the colleagues. Take one.
Love.
Online radio at its best.
347-850-1272 is our call-in number. Welcome back in. It's the Serious Hour on a beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you guys for spending a portion of your Sunday with us. And, of course, I never share the stage by myself. Big sis in the house. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
I'm good. Getting ready to pray for the Spirit, I tell you.
Pray for the Spirit. You need to pray for the Spirit. Mr. Jerome Spree's in the house as well, man. What's going on, Jerome? How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing all right. Cannot complain. Mr. LES is in the place to be as well. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. And good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Mama B. A special good morning to you, Mama B. Good morning, Rodelia. Good morning, Rich Sister. Good morning, Mary the Music. And Mary the Music, that first song was Drama by Erykah Badu. And the last song was Love Around the Clock, Raheem Devon, Vandal Anderson, The Colleagues featuring Guapale. And good morning, my brother Hulk, and good morning, my brother Jerome.
Mr. Elias, can we say hello to people in the world-famous chat room, if you don't mind, sir?
By all means, we got our brother Covina, man, in there with us. Good morning, Covina. Good morning, my brother.
That's my boy there, man. What's up, Kamina? Appreciate you, man. I want to say what's happening to the pastor. Also want to say hello to a few people that's listening to us live, all the way live. Well, more than a few, but I'm just going to acknowledge the few that I'm going to read here in a few minutes. Pastor Steve's always in the house. Appreciate you. Ricky is in the house. Pretty Ricky, that's what they call me, is here. Special message for Momo. Can't wait to read that. Also, Stacy and Kelly. Kareem and a few others. I'm not going to be able to read all your comments because we're up against it. And I wanted to talk about Senator Menendez, but you know what? Let's change pace. We only have a few more minutes. We can spend the next few minutes talking about this particular topic. Mr. Elias, I just want to get your real quick thoughts on what's happening with Jada and Will Smith. I don't get that whole situation, man. I really don't. And it seems to me that Jada Pinkett is doing everything in her power to just make Will Smith look stupid. But then I saw some freaking video last night, and Will is there saying, hey, we got this crazy love thing, but we're together. That's the weirdest mess I've ever seen, man. Your thoughts, please.
Hey, man, it's Hollywood. Well, no, they used to call it Hollyweird. So,
wow.
It is what it is, man. I mean, man, you know, if he like it, I love it. You know what I'm saying? I can't talk about nobody else's marriage. I'm dealing with my own issues, man. So God bless him. If that's what he likes, I'm not mad at him.
Yeah, well, okay. Vanessa, you know, a lot of people are saying the reason why he's still together because it's cheaper to keep it. There's no prenup. So, you know, instead of divorcing her, just let her go live. According to her, they've been living separately since 2016. And don't know, man.
Floor
is all yours.
So if y'all go back to around 2016, 17, when it was found out that Dwayne Martin, I think it's his name, Peter Campbell's husband, and Will Smith was having an affair. Because Will Smith bought him like a fancy car, range of a Bentley Sports or something like that. They were seen on a cruise together. If you go back and y'all start Googling Will Smith and that guy Martin, Tisha Campbell's husband, Tisha Campbell brought it up in the divorce that Will and him was having an affair. And so y'all, they have always been swingers. This ain't nothing new. They told that they were swingers. Okay, so sometimes being a swinger gets you in trouble. So he went and swung the other way. They're not going to divorce because they got too many assets. It's cheaper to just stay there and get separate lives. Y'all been sleeping around with separate lives for all these years. What's the big difference now? That's why they got screwed up children who dress like girls and they're boys and the girl dressed like the boy. That's the reason why they're children like that. No,
already.
No.
So,
They have hid it. They didn't hide it, Jay. So that's where they are right now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Vanessa. Just tell us how you really feel. Jerome, I don't know if this is beneath you or not to comment on it, but, sir, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say your piece on this as well, if you so choose.
I really don't think anything's beneath me, but I kind of feel like this is a little. I never had any empathy in this because she is literally being an exhibitionist. She pretty much always has been to me, right? And so when your child who grew up, who was born after Tupac had died, and that child is still saying my mama would have been happy with Tupac, means that she got some stuff going on. I think that needs help. So I always emphasize a little bit as well in the sense that I think he keeps trying to keep this happy marriage family thing going, and it's tough. Tough messing with her doing that.
Okay, y'all.
Wow. Vanessa, we got to go. Vanessa, we got to go. We got to go, Vanessa. Vanessa, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. We got time. That's it. Oh, my gosh, she's still talking. Vanessa, we got to go. We got to go. We got to take a break. We got to come back with our final thoughts. Sorry. All right. Love you, too. Oh, my God. We'll be right back after this. Jesus Christ.
The creators of the long-running cartoon series South Park are relaunching an iconic, almost 50-year-old Mexican restaurant in a Denver suburb. As NPR's Chloe Veltman explains, Trey Parker and Matt Stone have spent millions of dollars to rescue Casa Bonita after it was closed during the pandemic.
Few people outside of the Denver area had heard of Casa Bonita, adored by locals for offering kitschy entertainments like cliff divers and puppet shows despite its terrible food, until the cavernous restaurant was featured in South Park.
Well, it appears that Eric here is responsible for Butter's missing because he wanted to go to Casa Bonita.
Series creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker, both native Coloradans, funneled more than $40 million towards renovating the landmark after the business went bankrupt in 2020. Casa Bonita recently opened its doors to invited guests. The official launch date has yet to be announced. Chloe Veltman, NPR News.
Fire officials in Canada say rains expected on Sunday could help to clear up smoky air in the region, but they say it will not reach the forest fires that continue to burn in Quebec province for several days. There are more than 400 fires burning across the country, with 144 of them in Quebec. Officials say it's not unusual to have fires in the summer, but their broad scope this year and their early arrival is considered to be unprecedented. CT Pan is out in front in the Canadian Golf Open after shooting a 6-under-66 on Saturday at Oakdale. Pan birdied the final two holes for his 66. Rory McIlroy is just two strokes behind. He's looking to win his third straight Canadian Open. He won last year after the tournament was dark for 2 years because of COVID. I'm Dale Willman, NPR News.
Support for this NPR podcast is made possible by PwC, who wants you to know that they don't make products to solve any business problem. They make them to solve your specific challenges, putting their 175 years of experience into every product they make. Discover what they can do for you. At PwC, it adds up to the new equation. PwC.com/US/products.
All right, folks, it is time for State Your Case. Pastor Steve, State Your Case, where we read comments from the world-famous chat room and from social media. Mr. Elias, man, you got anything, man? Because we are up against it.
Yeah, Covina, man, I got one from Covina, man. He says, I do think Trump is going to jail.
My man, my boy, come on. I love my boy. I love him. All right, I have a few. Let me read them here real quick. Because we're really up against it. Pastor Steve, peace and blessings, family. I agree with you, Jay. The Republicans will continue to find ways to tilt the scales in their favor. This is a generational fight that our kids and their kids will have to fight for years to come. Also want to extend my condolences to Momo B and her family. I really enjoy when she calls into the show. She and her family are in my prayers. Well, thank you, Pastor. I'm pretty sure she would appreciate that. Ricky, pretty Ricky, look at this. South Florida. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry to hear about the passing of Momo B's father. Thoughts and prayers. This is pretty Ricky. Yep, I know. Pretty Ricky, that's what they call me. God bless. Stacy Dallas, prayers to Momo B, even though it is the natural order, children burying their parents. Nevertheless, the pain is still real. Stay strong, sister. Great show. One more. Kelly from Brooklyn. I need someone to explain to me why. Okay, I'm not reading. Yep, no, I'm scared. I need someone to explain to me why y'all are doing shows twice a month. I've been religiously listening to this show for the past 3 years. My Sunday morning routine, get up, fix breakfast, grab my phone, headphones, and Bruce, my German Shepherd, and hit the track listening to the Sirius side. Y'all need to step up y'all's game. Yeah, thanks, Kelly. All right, and on that, and on that note, Jesus Christ. Yeah, whatever, Jerome.
I won't be here next Sunday. I'm on the cruise.
Me, oh, there it is. See, that's why over there. There it is. See, see, look, there it is.
I won't be here. I won't be here. Either.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, there you go. So it sounds like it's just gonna be me and Jerome. Oh, Jerome, you're gonna be here. Might as well find out in front of everybody. You gonna be here, Jerome?
I am gonna be on the road, but I'll try to call it. That's
okay. Well,
say.
It sounds like I'm riding solo. All right. Well, I'm riding solo next week. Then sounds like okay. J-Ryle for 2 hours. That's going to be fun. All right, listen, we are up against it. We are running out of time. We're going to go over so people can say what they need to say. For the live audience, you'll lose us in 90 seconds, but for everyone who listens normally through whatever you listen to on your whatever day you listen to, you'll get the full breezy. So, Vanessa, give me your final thoughts.
I love you, Momo, and I will call you in another couple of days to make sure you got out the bed. Love you guys. Have a good week.
All right, you have a good week and be blessed. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. All right, Jerome, man, final thoughts.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be short and sweet. I just want to send my condolences to Momo and peace and many blessings to your family. And I know how it feels on the law. So just, hey, be strong is the only thing I can say. That's what people said to me. So I'll have to pass the same to you and say that if you need us, call us. Even if we need to joke around on the show a little bit, just, you know, we'll be there if we can. Or I definitely will.
Yep. Good stuff, man. I like the way you said that. Debating is the first and last word. Mr. Elias, my final thoughts.
Well, one more baby girl, you know something? You're always special to me. You will always be special to me. And, you know, my condolences to your family, sweetheart. And if you should need anything, don't hesitate to call. Just let me know how you're feeling, baby girl. And if you want me to call you, just let me know. I'll call you. I know how it is when somebody passed away. You don't want to deal with too many people. So if you need me, baby, I'm here for you.
Wow. And I echo everyone's thought. Momo Beasley know how she how I feel about her. I tell you, man, I hate to hear this. I really do. Because she would tell us stories about the cowboy, man. We started laughing. And, God, you know, you had the opportunity to spend that time with him. And just God bless you and your family. You know we love you to pieces, sweetie. And if there's anything that we can do, make sure you let us know. And I also want to send a very special shout-out to one of my brothers, man, a guy that I've been knowing for over 30 years. This brother just had a heart attack in Italy. This guy, when I tell you the definition of physical fitness, he's our age, but he has zero body fat. He does yoga. He eats right. He exercises every day. But he had a major, not a major, but he had a heart attack in Italy. He's recovering. They put a stent in. And I just want to say, bro, Hart, man, I love you, boy, and I'm going to be reaching out to you, man, FaceTiming you through WhatsApp here in a couple of hours just to make sure you are right and hold it steady. But, folks, listen, tomorrow's not promised. And so at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, love your loved ones, hug them, kiss them, take care of them. Don't wait until they're about to be put into the ground to give them their roses. Give it to them now. You know, give it to them now. And I just... And I want to say just a very special welcome to my mommy, too, because I had an opportunity to spend a week with her, and I just adore her so much. And I know that, you know, God has you here for a reason, and I know you're going through what you're going through, but at the end of the day, your family loves you, and we want to continue to lift you up, continue to give you your blessings and give you your roses while you can still acknowledge them. And on that note, Mr. Elias, it's Sunday. We're talking serious stuff. What time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Ryle Show.
All right, folks, have no fear. Next week you will get my boy Jerome on a need-to-know basis. So for Vanessa, for Jerome, for Mr. Elias, I'm J. Ryle, saying have a wonderful weekend, have a wonderful work week. Kiss a loved one. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Make sure a mama, aunt, sister gets to the doctor and get checked out, or wife. I'm J. Ryle. Have a wonderful weekend. And remember, for this Sunday, and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side. God bless. We'll see you next week. Especially to you, Kelly. We'll be back next week, Kelly.